Turn to the book of Hebrews, please, in our Bibles. Hebrews chapter 12. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1303. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll be reading only the first two verses. But we'll read these verses in unison. And we'll stand, please. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. And let's read. Ready? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Father, we're, of course, very fortunate, very blessed to be a part of this ministry. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for those who visit with us. We pray that you bless them. We're thankful, too, for those who were once here and they're with us again for a visit. We pray especially for the membership, those who come faithfully. And, of course, the service tonight can make a difference in our lives. Help it to be so. Help us to want it to be so. And graciously and tenderly bless our preacher now in Jesus' name. Amen.
About this wonderful, wonderful subject of heaven, bless us as we think of our eternal home, a home not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, in Jesus' name. Amen. I read for you without your turning to it. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In this passage, and I want you to look at me and listen carefully now, in this passage, our Heavenly Father likens earth to an athletic field. He likens you and me to athletes performing on the athletic field. He likens the saints in heaven to the great grandstand, like a soldier field where the Chicago Bears play and where the people sit in the grandstand and look down on the playing field. Or maybe just a tad better, like a university, like maybe Notre Dame or University of Indiana, University of Illinois, where the athletes play on the field and where up in the stands you have a great cloud of witnesses, many of whom at one time played on that very field. Now, the athletes are symbolic of you and me. We now are performing on this earth. We are on the battlefield. We are on the field of athletic field, and we are performing here. Now, up there in the heavenly grandstand, there are those who once played on the same field where we perform now, who are watching what we do. Now, you listen to me. Your mother, if she's in heaven, knows everything you do. She hears every rotten thing you say and every good thing you say. Your mother, our beloved father, if he's in heaven, knows every wicked deed. Listen to me. He knows every wicked deed that you perform. You're not doing anything in secret. You may have kept it secret from the people down here on the field, but you're not keeping it secret from those up there in the grandstand. They cheer. They mourn according to our performance. Now, all of us know what it's like to cheer. When I was a young person, we had cheerleaders. We didn't have dancers who did dances and perform. We had cheerleaders. They had big megaphones, and they turned toward the crowd, and they led us in cheers, like, yay, blue, yay, white, yay, leopards, fight, fight, fight. Original things like that.
or ox skin, pig skin, any kind of leather. We can beat the Bulldogs in any kind of weather. Or Dr. Pepper, Coca-Cola, any kind of pop. We can beat the Leopards in any kind of slop. And those were just some of the cheers that we had back in the ancient days of the Piltdown Man, the Stone Age, and so forth, when baseballs were rocks and bats were tree limbs and so forth. And our uniforms were skins taken from animals that we hunted. But the crowd cheers up in the grandstand, or the crowd mourns up in the grandstand. For example, here are the White Sox playing down here, and all the crowds up there cheering. Here are the Cubs playing over here, and all the crowds up there crying. And now the honest, simple truth is, people in heaven are happy about what you do, or they're grieved about what you do. We find in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 and the following, we find that you can grieve the Holy Spirit. And certainly you can grieve folks who are in heaven. They watch what you do. Your mother watches you folks that are living in sin. Your mother watches you if she's in heaven tonight. They are in the earthly grandstand. They cheer and mourn according to our performance. Hey, my boy, look at there. Glory. He just surrendered to preach down there on the earth, says some mother in the heavenly grandstand. Hey, look at the invitation down there at First Baptist Church. My daughter just gave up smoking at the altar of the First Baptist Church. Hey, my brother just won his first soul to Christ. By the way, do not take notes while I'm preaching. You need to hear me preach, not to do a bunch of writing while I'm preaching. And one reason I don't like it, you may be writing a note to your girlfriend as far as I know. So put your stupid pen up and your stupid paper up and put your stupid face pointed this way and listen to this stupid sermon. But anyway, my husband just got saved, she says from the heavenly grandstand as she watches the earth's performance. And he's coming here now to be with me. My daughter just graduated, says a mother in the heavenly grandstand as she watches her daughter walk across the platform on commencement day. Oh my boy took a drink, says a sad mother in heaven as she watches her careless, ungrateful son lift the wicked bottle to his lips and take a drink. Years ago, I don't know what they do now. I don't go to games anymore. But years ago, if we wanted our team to do well, we'd chant, go, 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 go. Do they still do that? Go, 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 go. That means go. And in heaven, they say that. They say to you folks that not soul winners, go, 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 go. If the other team was about to make a touchdown, we'd hold that line. Oh, hold that line. Oh, hold that line. Oh, hold that line. How many of you remember stuff like that? Okay, there are five of us old enough to remember it. Hold that line. That means don't let them make a touchdown. Or if they're trying to kick a field goal or extra point, we'd say, block that kick. Oh, block that kick. Oh, block that kick. And up there in heaven, they say to us, go, 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 go soul winning. And when the devil's about to get the best of us, they say, hold that line, hold that line. 34 years ago this month, we voted here on whether the church is going to kick me out or not. And they were shouting in heaven, block that kick, block that kick, block that kick, block that kick. We'd chant, we want a touchdown. We want a touchdown. We want a touchdown. Now, up there tonight, unseen, but they're there just as sure as if they were seen, there are the people in the heavenly grandstand watching what we do on earth. Now, this sermon, however, I want to see who's in that grandstand. Now, there's some people I think are in that grandstand watching from heaven. I think my mother's there. I don't know that she's there. I cannot look at a verse in this Bible and it says Costal Mattie Hiles is in heaven. I fully believe she's there. When she passed away, she looked up and she said to me, do you see him, son? And I said, "See whom, Mother?" She said, "There's Jesus right there. And there's my baby, my firstborn girl, Loreen. And there's my secondborn, Hazel. Each went to heaven at the age of 7. My mother said, "There's Uncle Harvey and Aunt Jimmy and Uncle Basil and Aunt Gera, Uncle Roy and Aunt Octa." And I feel confident she was going to heaven. I recall one time, the last few hours of her life, I went out. She didn't know who it was. She came and went, sort of like I'm doing in my last years. And I went out clinic at Howells Anderson College, where she went to heaven. From where she went to heaven, and she said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Jack. I'm your son. You know who I am." And she said, "Are you married?" And I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "What's your wife's name?" And I said, "Beverly." She said, "Do you have any children?" And I said, "Yes, 4. She said, "What are their names?" I said, "Becky, David, Linda, and Cindy." She said, "Do you work?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Where do you work?" And I said, "I'm pastor down at First Baptist Church of Hammond." She said, "On her deathbed. You don't call that work, do you?" Now, I watched that woman on her deathbed. I'm convinced, I think at least, she's in heaven. But I don't know. I cannot say I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that she's in heaven. I think that first person I ever saw die, Mrs. Munden, when I was a kid preacher, phone rang at midnight and 2 o'clock in the morning, between midnight and 2. As I've said before, I'm a little sick and tired of you folks dying in the wee hours of the morning. Brother Colston does that kind of work here, and he hates it too. He's sick and tired. I defend him tonight. Why don't you die at noon? Everybody dies, right? Everybody dies at 2 o'clock in the morning. Baptists have no consideration for preachers at all. But wee hours of the morning, the phone rang. Somebody said, "Mrs. Munden, dear old saint of God, she's going to heaven. And would you come?" Now, I had never seen anybody die. So I got on my black suit, my black tie, my black socks, my black and shoes. Had shoes on, and I was all prepared to go with her. My black outfit, you know. And I got my black Bible, went up to the house, with winding road, opened the gate, went up winding road up to the house. Typical old fashioned house, had a big old open hallway down the middle, and on either side had rooms and just an old country house. I walked in there, about 20 people were around her bedside. And I walked up, and I didn't know what to do. I'd never seen anybody die. And I thought you're supposed to say dust to dust and ashes to ashes, or, you know. And may the Lord be with you in the hour of trial as you cross the great divide and as you enter into the presence of the Lord Himself. And I walked in. Miss Munden said, "Come on in, preacher. I'm going to heaven. I'm about to take a trip. Been looking forward to it for a long time. And we're just about to sing." And we joined hands and we sang together, "I'm longing for the coming of the Snow White Angel Band." Her little hands went up like that. And she began to praise the Lord and shout. Now, I think Miss Munden is in heaven. I don't know that she's in heaven, but I think she's in heaven. But there's nothing in the Bible that tells me Mrs. Munden is in heaven. Years ago, I was pastor of Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas. The church had no parking lot, but right across the street was a big shopping center, and we used the shopping center for parking on Sunday. Back when America had enough character to keep the stores closed on Sunday, and the shopping center was closed on Sunday, we used it. I'd go out the front door of the front porch of the church, and I'd shake hands with everybody. Everybody went over there to park. They'd come across and come in the front door, and I'd shake hands with everybody. We didn't have, had a few hundred, but not a huge church like we have now. And so there came an old man. I thought he was old then. He's not near as old as I thought he was, but he was 72 years of age. But he wasn't young looking like I am. He didn't have the youthful bounce that I have. Or is that a thud? But anyway, old man, and he was stooped like that. And his hair was as white as the first snow of the winter. And couldn't have weighed over 125 pounds, about 5'7" tall. He walked across the street there, and I walked out, and I said, "My name is Jack Hiles." In a squeaky old voice, he said, "My name is James W. Moore. James W. Moore." And I said, Mr. Moore, I said, are you new in town? Yes, sir. He said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I've been preaching over 50 years, but instead of preaching my voice out, I'm not well anymore. I pastored in Iowa over 50 years. I think he said Iowa. Over 50 years. And he said, I'm not well. I've had a heart trouble, and I've come down here to be with my some relatives. I think it's his son or daughter and family. And he said, I want to meet Pastor Hiles. I was just a young man at the time, about 26 years old. And I said, I want to meet the pastor. And I said, I am the pastor. He said, Sonny boy, I want to meet the senior pastor. Oh, for God to call somebody to call me Sonny boy one more time. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. I said, I am the senior pastor. He said, I'm a Baptist preacher, and I live down here now, and I'm about to come to your church if you don't mind. I've heard you preach it like it is, and I want to come to your church if you don't mind. I said, well, of course. He said, I won't cause you no trouble now. I've been pastor for years. You're a young man, but I won't cause you no trouble. I bought him an old platform rocker. Do they still have those platform rockers now? The kind of chair that rocked, but you couldn't see the rockers. And I put it over here in next to the wall over here in the altar. And Brother Moore would sit over there every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night while I preached. And he'd clap his hands and rock. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's in the book. That's what it says. Hallelujah. I'd get on dancing or movies or something. He'd say, hey, pull over and park there for a while. And he'd clap and praise the Lord. Every Monday morning, he'd come by my office, 9 o'clock, never 1 minute to 9, never 1 minute after 9. He'd come up before 9 and stay outside the door and knock on the door at 9 o'clock. And what he would do, he'd walk outside, walk up and down in front of me as he came in the office. He wouldn't look at me. He'd say, Brother Jack, I just came by to tell you about a stupid mistake I made when I was a young preacher. Appropriately enough, it was always the same stupid mistake I'd made the day before. But he never told me. Never did. He said, I was so stupid when I was a young man. Listen, and I said, you're coming through loud and clear. I never loved a man, I guess, any more than I loved James W. Moore. I never was as close to any preacher as I was to James W. Moore, except with Dr. John Rice. Every Monday morning he was there, and every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, rocking, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, pull over park there for a while. And one Sunday morning I looked over and he wasn't there. It's easy to see because he's the only one sat in that chair. That Sunday night he wasn't there, and Wednesday night he wasn't there. And finally, several months passed, and Brother Moore wasn't there. I went by his house to find out if he was okay, but nobody was there. And I gathered maybe he'd moved back to Iowa or something with some other relatives. And then one night, Mrs. Hiles and I were just about ready for bed. We'd had a little midnight snack, nothing heavy, 16 or 18 hot dogs. And that was just hers, and I had some also. And so we... The phone rang about midnight, right in the middle of our snack. And I went to the phone, and a nurse, a lady said, this is a nurse at Spiegel Hospital. A nurse at Spiegel Hospital. Said, is this Reverend Hiles? I said, this is Brother Hiles. She said, don't they call you Brother Jack? I said, that's what they call me back in my young days. My people call him Brother Jack. And I said, she said, there's an old man here dying. He just has a few minutes to live. We don't know who he is. We found him on the street corner, on a curb, dying. He has no identification. We have no idea who he is. And all he keeps saying is, call Brother Jack! Call Brother Jack! Call Brother Jack! And we thought that you'd like to be called Brother Jack. And we do you know who this man might be? I said, is he short? She said, he is. I said, well, can you tell if his shoulders are drooped? She said, they are. I said, is his hair very, very white? She said, it is. And I said, I know who he is. So I got in the car, drove just about 4 or 5 blocks down there to the Spiegel Hospital, walked in either room 11 or 12, not sure which one, but either room 11 or room 12 in the Spiegel Clinic Hospital, and there was Brother Moore. And I walked in, you know, ready to have a committal, dust to dust and ash to ashes, and dust thou wast, dust thou shalt return. But he wasn't in a mood to dust. He was in a mood to shout. And he said, come on in, Brother Jack. I'm just about to take a trip been looking forward to for a long, long time. He said, in just a few minutes, Brother Jack, I'm going to see Abraham and Isaac and Elijah and John and Peter and Paul
Anything you want me to tell them? I couldn't think of a single thing. I said, tell them hi. I thought that'd be original. He said, Brother Jack, he said, I want you to have a Bible. I'm going to heaven now. I want you to have a Bible conference. I want to tell you the speakers. He listed the speakers. And he planned the conference. And he said, this is what I want you to do. And I promised I would. And then Brother James W. Moore, one of the best friends I ever had, looked up and he said, Brother Jack, can I have your hands? I put my hands out like this. He put his around mine like that. Looked up at me with his hands trembling and said, Brother Jack, keep preaching it! He crossed his hands across his breast. You could almost hear the thud of his chin as it hit on his breast. His mouth opened. Water began to come out of his mouth and his eyes were set. I heard the rustling of angels' wings. Angel came and said, Brother Jack, would you step out in the hall? We have a little job to do here. I stepped out in the hall. I think I heard the rustling of the wings as they took his spirit in the presence of the Savior whom he had preached for 50 years. I walked back in, got up on top of the bed and kissed him on the cheek. And I said, oh God, help me to keep preaching it. Now, I think Brother Moore is in heaven, but don't know. There's nothing in the Bible that says he's there. I'm not really for dead sure that Brother Moore is in heaven. My sister Hazel, I think she's in heaven because she was in my mother's arms and said, Mother, I just feel like I'm going up in the air to be with Jesus. And that moment, she passed away, and I think she's in heaven. But I don't know for sure that she's in heaven. Dr. John Rice's mother saw her baby as she died. She said, there's my baby. And I feel that Dr. Rice's mother is in heaven, but I don't know Dr. Rice's mother is in heaven. In Henderson, Texas, one day, a 92-year-old lady, another one of those that died at 2 o'clock in the morning, didn't care a thing about preachers getting their rest. I went to her bedside just two doors from our house in Henderson, Texas. And she looked up and she said, Jesus. Jesus. And she was gone. I think she went to heaven. I don't know that she went to heaven, but I think she did. About a mile down Highway 43 from our little church in the country in Marshall, Texas, was a little lady who passed away. And as she passed away, I was down at her house, and she said, music, beautiful music. I don't know that she went to heaven, but I think she did. A young mother in the same Spiegel's Clinic Hospital I mentioned a while ago had a mole on her body, and the mole became malignant, and it spread across her body, and she passed away. And as she died, I was right by her bedside, and she said, light, light, I see light. I have no doubt but that she went to heaven, but don't know for sure because I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that she went to heaven. A little girl in Garland, Texas, looked up as she died, and she said, Mother, Mother, I think she went to heaven, but I don't know that she went to heaven. And, of course, there are the Bible cases. I think that Stephen went to heaven, but the Bible doesn't say he went to heaven. It says he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father, but he was on the earth at that time, and he said, lay not this sin to their charge. I feel confident Stephen went to heaven, but I don't know that Stephen went to heaven. I don't even know for sure the Apostle Paul went to heaven. He who said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He who said, spoke so much about the heavenly city. And here we have no permanent city, but we seek one to come. The Apostle Paul, I think he's in heaven. He who said, I've finished the course, I've fought the good fight, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing. I think that Paul went to heaven. But I don't know for sure that he went to heaven because the Bible doesn't say he went to heaven. He who told us in Romans so plainly how to go to heaven. I think the beloved John went to heaven, but I don't know that he went to heaven. I know he went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. I don't know. I think that Dwight Moody went to heaven, but I don't know. I think that Billy Sunday went to heaven, but I don't know. I think that Charles Spurgeon went to heaven, but I don't know. I think that Jonathan Edwards went to heaven, but I don't know. I think that Adoniram Judson went to heaven, but I don't know. I think that Charles G. Finney went to heaven, but I don't know. I think that Peter went to heaven, but I don't know. I think that John Rice went to heaven, but I don't know. I think that Bob Jones Sr. went to heaven, but I don't know. I think that Lester Roloff went to heaven, but I don't know. I think that David Brainerd, who prayed in the snow until it said for about 2 feet around him, the snow was melted where he prayed so fervently, but I don't know that he went to heaven. Christmas Evans was on his deathbed. Some preachers gathered around him and said, "Mr. Evans, tell us what you want to tell us. What's the last message of advice you'd give us before you go to heaven?" Christmas Evans looked up and he said, "Young men, preach the blood in the basin." And he went to heaven. I think he went to heaven, but I don't know he did. Daniel Webster was dying and they said, "What can we do for you?" He said, "Sing my favorite song, There is a Fountain Filled with Blood." And he joined and sang with them, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains." And the last stanza, he led them in singing, "The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away." And the old man pushed himself up with on his hands for the last time and shouted, "Amen! Amen!" And passed away. I think he went to heaven, but I don't know that he went to heaven. David Livingston was praying one day, and as he was praying, he was praying for Africa, looking at a map of Africa. And praying for Africa, as he often did, looking at the map. He prayed for 30 minutes and somebody came. He was still praying, looking at that map of Africa. 30 minutes later, they came back. He was still on his knees, or at least in a praying posture, and they noticed that he wasn't breathing. And David Livingston died with a map of Africa in front of him, praying for God to save Africa. I think he went straight from his knees to heaven, but I don't know that he did. Hugh McHale said as he died, "Farewell, sun. Farewell, moon and stars. Farewell, all earthly desires and delights. Welcome, God the Father. Welcome, sweet Jesus, the mediator of the covenant. Welcome, death, and welcome, glory." I think he went to heaven, but I don't know that he went to heaven. A preacher in Philadelphia said, "I move into the light." Mr. Toplady said, "Light, light." Holding his hands up, he said, "Light, more light." I think all of these went to heaven, but I don't know they did. Now here's the sermon. I'm finally to it. Here's the sermon. I only am sure that there are 23 people in heaven tonight. Now listen carefully. I'll give you a little Bible study. Jesus said on the cross to the dying thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." I know that thief is in heaven. Elijah, the Bible said he was taken into heaven by a whirlwind in a chariot in his earthly body. And when Jesus and Peter, James, and John went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah came from heaven. And I know Elijah's in heaven because the Bible says he was taken up into heaven. I know Enoch went to heaven because the Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And I know that Enoch is in heaven. That's three. Number four, I know that Lazarus, the poor man, is in heaven, because the Bible says he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And Hebrews 11 tells me where Abraham is. He also is in heaven, a part of the cloud of witnesses listed in Hebrews chapter 11. So I know that Lazarus is in heaven. I know the thief is in heaven. I know Elijah is in heaven. I know that Enoch is in heaven. I know that Moses is in heaven. Because when Peter, James, and John and Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration, there was Moses that came and talked with Jesus concerning his coming death. That's five. Six, I know that Samuel is in heaven. Because Samuel was seen by Saul and the witch of Endor when they called Samuel and saw Samuel in heaven. I know he's in heaven. I know that there's 16 people listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Some of those I've referred to already. But the others I have not referred to in Hebrews 11. Now, follow me carefully. Hebrews 12 said, wherefore? Now, when you say wherefore, there's something gone before. Wherefore, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There should not be a division chapter between chapter 11 of Hebrews and chapter 12. Because chapter 11 lists a whole lot of Old Testament saints. In fact, it lists 16 Old Testament saints. And then it says, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And the Bible lists among those witnesses Abel, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Daniel. And I have Daniel because it says that some stopped the mouths of lions. Only one ever did that, and that was Daniel. And it said some quenched the violence of fire. Only three ever did that, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I call the names of the 23 people that we know are in heaven. The thief, Elijah, Enoch, Lazarus, Moses, Samuel, Abel, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that's all I know for sure that are in heaven. Now, let me tell you what I'm saying. These are watching you. Imagine Abraham, who left the Ur of the Chaldees to look for a city which had foundations, whose builder and ruler is God. Imagine Abraham, who was Sarah, with no insurance and no job and no hospitalization, and did not know where he was going, said to Sarah, we're going to go. She said, where are we going to go? He said, we don't know. We're going to follow God. Well, where? We don't know. We're just going to follow God. We're going to we know not where. Imagine Abraham with that kind of faith watching us, who won't even leave our Hollywood movies and our video machines with Hollywood movies on them, and our primetime television and our dirty soap operas. Imagine Abraham watching you. The man who left all. The man who said one day to Isaac, you come with me for a 3-day journey to Mount Moriah. You come with me. And God said, take thine only son, Abraham, and take him up to Mount Moriah and offer him there for an offering on Mount Moriah as a sacrifice. Like you'd take a knife and kill a lamb. Kill your son. Take his life. Imagine Abraham taking that boy a 3-day journey to Mount Moriah. How many times I've said this from this platform. They go to sleep the first night. And there Abraham can't sleep. And Isaac doesn't know that he's going to be offered as a sacrifice. Abraham looks up and sees the clear night and the eastern stars. And he says, God, you promised me that my seed would be as many as the stars of the heavens. And now you've asked me to kill my boy. The next night, they go to rest there. Abraham can't rest. Reaches out and takes the sand of the eastern desert and wilderness. And sand rolls through his fingers. And Abraham says, God, you promised me as the grains of sand in the desert, so would my seed be. And now you're asking me to give my own son. Now you listen to me. That man who went to Mount Moriah, took a knife, raised it to pierce his son, to kill his own son, answering to God's command, and left the Ur of the Chaldees, is looking down at you, half in, half out, half on, half off, pink cider, lemon, pink lemonade, milk and cider, kind of Christians, won't come to church on Wednesday night, won't give you tithe, won't turn off the dirty movies on your television set, won't turn your dirty rock music off. I mean, he's watching you! He's in the grandstand watching you, my soul in the morning. I don't want them to be ashamed of me when they look down on earth. Imagine Moses, who gave up the throne of Egypt, who could have sat on the throne of Egypt. Imagine Moses watching us who won't even tithe. Can you imagine this morning and tonight when the collections place were passed, and you reached into God's bank vault and robbed God, and you got God's money burning your hole in your pocket right now? Can you imagine Moses, who left the riches of Egypt to become identified with a slave nation. He who could live in the palace for 40 years lived in a tent in the wilderness. He who could have ruled an Egyptian empire at its zenith was afflicted with a bunch of poverty-stricken slaves. Can you imagine how he felt? He looked down today and saw you robbing God of the tithe. They're watching you. They're watching me. Seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Can you imagine Joseph, who forgave his brothers who tried to kill him, looking down and watching us who hold our petty hatreds, our bitterness? I'll get him! I'll get him! And Joseph, whose brothers took him down to kill him, and they were offered 20 pieces of silver instead, sold their own brother for 20 little pieces of silver. And Joseph was sold into slavery, went to Egypt, and for years never saw his daddy, never saw his family. And Joseph's brothers came and did not know that Joseph was in charge of the commissary of the king. And Joseph knew who they were, and Joseph fed them and loved them and forgave them. Can you imagine him looking down on you with your little petty grievances? With your hatred? With your unwillingness to speak to somebody? With your vengeance? With your revenge? I'm saying, I don't know for sure that Dwight Moody is watching me, but I know that Joseph is. Can you imagine Daniel, who went to the lion's den for praying with his windows open, 3 times a day praying toward Jerusalem? Can you imagine Daniel looking down on you and seeing that you haven't prayed 5 minutes today? Let me tell you what will make you come be a good Sunday school teacher. Let me tell you what will make some of you Sunday school teachers that go on a trip and don't even go to church. Let me tell you what will make you faithful Sunday school teachers. Let me tell you what will make you come to teacher's meeting like you promised to do when you enlisted. You say to the house, I don't get anything out of it. You didn't promise to come to a teacher's meeting to get something out of it. You promised to come to teacher's meeting. Let me tell you what will make you teachers take your job seriously at Hammond Baptist Schools and City Baptist. Let me tell you what will make you college teachers make it life or death when you serve God in the classroom at Howells Anderson College. Let me tell you what will make you choir members come to practice on Thursday night. Let me tell you what will make you deacons come to deacon's meeting at deacon's meeting time. Let me tell you what will make you people have jobs for God. If you will ever stop to realize that up in heaven, these great saints of God who gave their all, they're watching you. Can you imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who didn't compromise, wouldn't bow down and worship that golden image on the plains of Dura? Can you imagine them watching this watered-down Christianity that we carelessly call fundamentalism? Can you imagine Elijah, who stood up against the 800 prophets of Baal? Can you imagine Elijah looking down and watching this generation of pussyfooting preachers, afraid of their deacon boards, afraid of their non-denominational program? Years ago, a man sat right up there during pastor school. Pastor school was over. It was Friday morning. Had a question and answer time. He stood up and he said, I can't do all this. How do you expect me to do all this? He said, he held up a book. He said, this is my denominational handbook. It won't allow me to do all this. What am I supposed to do? I said, won't it burn? He shook his head like that and sat down. A few weeks later, I got a letter. All that was in it was some ashes. Ashes. Can you imagine how Elijah, who stood up before 800 prophets of Baal and the king and the wicked queen, looks down to the heavenly grandstand of the battlefield here and sees a bunch of sissy preachers who are scared of their shadows and scared of their wives and scared of their deacons and scared of denominational secretaries. Can you imagine? Well, pussyfooters, they're watching you. Heavenly witnesses, they're watching you. Can you imagine Joseph, who left his coat in the hands of Potiphar's wife, looking down and watching the Holocaust of babies that are murdered by godless doctors every year in America? Can you imagine those great men of God watching our little pusillanimous president taking a stand for murder? Baby murder. I want to say something. If O.J. Simpson is guilty, he is not one tithe as guilty as the President of the United States is. And every other dirty, murderous politician with the blood of a million babies on his hands every year, I'm saying, go ahead and do it. But these people, 23 people we know of, they're watching everything you do in the heavenly grandstand. Imagine your mother and father watching your performance. Imagine your baby in heaven watching your performance. Imagine your beloved wife or husband in heaven watching your performance. The heavenly grandstand. I'm not sure who all is there, but I do know of 23 people who are there. Now what are we to do? It's very plain, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, number one, let us lay aside every weight. Now listen carefully to me. I'm a little tired of people saying, well, what's sinful about that? Bless your little pea-picking heart. There are some things that are not sinful you're not supposed to do. Anything that keeps you from doing right, though it's not sinful, is a weight. And the Bible said, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What does that mean? That means that I am on the field. There's a certain race that God has chartered for me. That means that I'm supposed to run a race that He has set before me. Let me close with this. When the United States played a soccer game, I think it was against Colombia, wasn't it? A soccer game in the World Cup. One of the players on the, what was it, Colombia? One of the players on the Colombian team mistakenly kicked the ball toward the wrong goal and made a goal for the United States. Colombian people took it so seriously. When that man went back to Colombia, he was murdered for the fact that he made an honest mistake. Those in the stands watching took it that seriously. In countries, they tell me, where they've lost in the World Cup games, they've had dozens of suicides. People killing themselves because of a poor performer or losing performance on the field. Can you imagine how they must feel in heaven? The alumni up in heaven. Probably there's Ridley and Latimer martyred at the stake. There's John Huss, martyred at the stake. There's Aaron Arm Judson, who was married, ordained, and left for the mission field 3 consecutive days. Took his little wife, Anne, to Burma. Their first child died and was buried in Burmese soil. Their second child died, was buried in Burmese soil. Anne Judson, his beloved wife, died, was buried in Burmese soil. He's watching tonight. If Dr. Rice is in heaven, I hope he's proud of me. If my mother's in heaven, I hope she's proud of her boy. They're watching. How many I don't know, but 23 I do know. And those 23, for sure, and millions of others are in the heavenly grandstand watching. What kind of performance are you giving? What kind of life are you living? Let me tell you something funny. Ms. Hiles and I, years ago, went to Texas on a vacation. Took our children with us. I was already a well-known preacher, and our church was already internationally known. We walked in on a Sunday night, the Galilean Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. A young man was filling the pulpit. The pastor was gone. And he did not know me by sight, but knew by name. He asked the visitors to stand, and he said, "Would you, this couple back here, what is your name?" I said, "My name is Jack Hiles. This is my wife, Beverly, and our children." He put his head down like this and began to weep real tears. He said, "What have I done to deserve this?" He said, "I've got to preach tonight with Dr. Jack Hiles sitting out there watching me. And I'm just a substitute preacher, a preacher boy." But he said, "Folks, that isn't all. This morning I stood behind this pulpit and recognized the visitors. And Dr. Lee Robertson and his family were here this morning." He was miserable. He said, "I don't know what I've done wrong." If that young preacher was scared to death performing in the presence of Lee Robertson and Jack Hiles, can you imagine how you ought to feel tonight? Every step you take, he is watched by the heavenly grandstand. And watched, we know, by the thief. Elijah, Enoch, Lazarus, Moses, Samuel, Abel, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Of those we know, plus that great multitude of heavenly hosts that are in heaven, because they put their faith in Christ. I don't know about you, but I want them to cheer me. And I want to give them something to cheer about. I want Elijah to say, "That boy, boy," he called me a boy. I let Elijah call me a boy. He says, "That boy, he lets it rip." I want John the Baptist to say, "Good night." He said, "At times he reminds me of me." How about you, our Heavenly Father? Bless the sermon to the hearts of the people. A crowd of heavenly witnesses, at least 23 we know are there, enough to make us want to do our best. May we do what the Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us.